What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Please welcome our guest today, Eamon Ismail!
Oh, there he is. Thank you so much. The white people were so good. I was not expecting all that a cappella. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. It was
fantastic. The harmonizing.
It's wild, too. What a day, because this Monday, April 11th, is also National Barbershop Quartet Day. So they really dusting off those vocals. I'm not joking. That's one of the days today.
I believe you.
It was all meant to be. So thank you, Jaquise, creating the space for that, for us to be just serenaded like that. Eamon, what's good, man? You're dealing with parent life, mm-hmm. and like many people in the pandemic, it's grinding you down a little bit.
I want to complain, but I just love this kid so freaking much that it just feels good to be tired all the time and feed him stuff, you know? So he's got like two little teeth. It's like little bunny rabbits sticking out the bottom of his mouth.
Oh, you got two. Okay.
I'm just feeding him what I'm eating, and it just feels good. I'm actually really happy to be a dad now. But I've got like a book that I'm working on. I've got a podcast that I'm working on. I've just got so many pans on the fire right now. Yeah. So many things blistering up and feeling good. So, you know,
Did fatherhood just kind of like awaken a new level of motivation for you? Like when I'm sure on your way to being a parent, you're like, wow, man, like I'm about to have a child. I'm going to hold my kid down. But are you now even as you're there physically in the flesh, what has that done to your brain?
You know, I didn't expect this to happen, but I feel like I have much more appreciation for downtime. Mm-hmm. Like before, I would just kind of pull out the phone, mindlessly scroll, doom scroll.
Right.
Sometimes I'll just like play FIFA for hours because I have nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, oh my God, this kid's going to be napping for an hour. And in that hour, I can get so much done. And there's a lot of small wins throughout the day that keeps you motivated.
Yeah.
So this thing has been a blessing, man. He's honestly been the best thing that happened for my career too, because I've been milking him like crazy for content.
Yeah. Right.
This book and this podcast I'm working on are both about parenthood.
There you go.
Turns out nobody's written a book about being a Muslim American dad. So.
Hell yeah.
I'm trying to take that market. I'm trying to show up at the airport kiosk.
Right, exactly. Just on your way, they're like, "Hey, brother, let me talk to you before you get on this flight with your kid. Have you heard the good word yet?
You heard the good word
from Brother Eamon? Okay, okay. I'll be out there. I'll hawk that shit on the corner, just being like, "Hey, oh, man, yeah. Get up on this."
Danny, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Oh my gosh. mine from my search history was twin flames, signs and numbers. I'm okay. Very into, are you aware of the concept of twin flames, Jack?
Am I?
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Okay. You're into all these theories. I wasn't. No, it's basically like your soulmate. Your twin flame is like basically your soulmate. Okay. And so I follow, I have like an app and not relating to soulmates, but just like basically looking out for signs when you're trying to manifest. So not just a soulmate. You guys are both making faces at me right now.
I'm trying to process what I'm hearing.
I'm reading up on it.
Well, the concept of a twin flame, basically your other half, like the person that you're meant to be with. To me, I feel like I've done so much healing at a point that I don't want anyone that isn't like at the same level as me. They'll probably just be alone forever.
See, not if you talk like that. See, now you're messing
up. I'm kidding. But anyways, I'm very into signs and numbers, and I see them all the time. Like, I was taking a flight, and the flight, it was going to land. It was 3 hours and 33 minutes, and, like, it left at 3:33. It was, like, very fascinating. Okay. Like, stuff like that. I screenshot it all the time. The car in front of me, the license plate had 777. And on the podcast I was listening to, they were literally like, and you divide it by 777. And I was just like, they were talking about NFTs or some shit. And it happened like right when I was looking at it. So I'm very into that.
Yeah.
That is an insight into my head.
I had a weird thing where I was watching Nightmare Alley with Bradley Cooper while also watching. So I was watching that on my phone while the NCAA tournament was on. And at one point, the movie synced up with the game, and it was North Carolina. It was the second round when they were playing Baylor. And they both said Hubert at the same time because that was the coach of UNC. And that was also a character's name in Nightmare Alley. And I was like, fuck it. I'm betting it all on UNC. Like, I didn't have the follow through, but I wish I had, because UNC went to the title game, even though they were like a 9 seed. But I was like, man, sometimes this shit really, like, I don't believe in it, but like sometimes I'm like, but I mean, come on, that shit. So something happened there.
Gave you a good feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you're sports betting, you need signs, you know?
Yeah. It's
true. I'll take signs that don't even make sense. I'm like, that's a sign, so I'm going to put all this money here.
Yeah.
And hopefully that'll change my future.
Sports is where I engage in the sort of magical thinking that I make fun of in, like, Republicans, where I'm just like, yeah. Like, I will believe the wildest shit there.
Like your Sixers hat?
What? No, the Sixers hat actually works. That is empirically proven that when I wear my Sixers hat, they lose. So I just don't wear it. Uh-huh. They are going to lose in the first round, but that's okay.
I feel you. We got Abrahat Hicks over here.
So, wow. But I don't want to get off of twin flames, because I think that is a beautiful concept.
Does twin flames mean that there's only one, or like, is philosophically, can you have multiple flames?
Okay, so
there?
I personally believe that you have multiple soulmates, but they're not there for your entire life. There's something also kind of like someone who's supposed to help you karmically get to where you're supposed to. So like, let's say,
going through some shit.
Yeah, or even if you dated someone and it like ended horribly, but you learned a lot of things and you were like, well, I know now what I don't want, and I'm not going to settle for that, or I'm not, you know, or something that spurred you into like, fuck it, I'm going to finally sit down and do this work and hold myself accountable and whatever to actually find the person that I want to find. Then you find, to me, your twin flame. God, now, if you're someone listening like, that'll never fucking happen, then yeah, it'll never fucking happen. I totally believe in those things. If you're, I don't know if y'all saw my tweet. It was my wishing wall. It was like from 2013. It was almost a decade ago. I had made a little wishing wall. I lived in an apartment with two other girls in a one bedroom. We were so poor. Ooh. We were definitely the, one of them was a musician. And we were very much like, we're going to make it with stars right. in our eyes and whatever. And so we all had a wishing wall. We wrote down what we wanted. And on my wishing wall, it said to write television, to get a literary agent. It was like all of the things on my wall came true.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe if I were like, this will never happen, it wouldn't happen. You well, have to like, yeah. you have to like radically believe that it'll happen. You have to like almost stupidly. That's why we see so many stupid people out here doing well.
I mean,
because they just
setting,
stupidly
yeah.
fully believe that they can and they do.
Yeah. Intention setting is like very, very important because it really does. It sets you up in your subconscious to begin to be focusing on something like, you know, I've tried to set intentions like that of like, there's something different when you put pen to paper too.
Yes.
When you
I agree.
Write something out to say, I am going to do this rather than talking shit like I'm going to do it. There's just something that happens when you sort of intentionally sort of begin to express those things. So yeah, I feel like you gotta set your intentions. And yeah, to your point, perception is reality at the end of the day. So if you are out here saying, you know, believe that everything's not going to go your way, you're typically probably going to be existing in a reality where you're focused on all the things that aren't going
That's
your
true.
Way when they could be actually going your way. But it's really just about how you're setting your perception up. But yeah.
It's the confirmation bias. If you think like everything always goes wrong for me, we could all every single day name all the things that go wrong for us. We just don't often. It takes work to focus on the things that are going well and to try to like map those out and accumulate those. And over time, even me, I'm so past those goals now. Now, when I look back, when I found that in like a bunch of paperwork I had, I was like, oh my God, these are not my goals at all. And
right.
they feel small because I accomplished them years ago. But this was my huge goals and dreams. So
yeah.
I think we just never look back at our old goals and realize that we did achieve
yeah,
several
right.
of them.
And give yourself some props too for that.
I'm impressed that you use magical thinking to achieve your like life's goals, and I used it to almost make a bet on North Carolina Tar Heels that I didn't make, and they didn't even win the title. Anyways, what is something that you think is overrated, Sija?
I don't know if you guys are TikTok heads like myself, and I might be old and this might be like late, but that Tom's Diner cover, do you guys know this? Maybe I should have linked it. Yeah, which is a great song. And then these like two Hozier wannabes come in and they do like this hiccup singing.
No.
And then it's become like the, you know, the process of TikTok songs, at least, or sounds is like,
right.
hey, everyone who wants their video to go viral will make it their background music. So now my algorithm, my feed is just every single category of a viral video with this awful cover behind it. And I just, and then I saw it. It's like on the Billboard charts or on the Spotify charts. And I just can't escape it.
I can't even imagine trying to bring Hozier level like earnestness to the da, 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 da. Like that is supposed to be just like that they seem like they're at the opposite ends of like intention from
well,
from the artist, from the
it's
vocalist.
Definitely a take, you know, it's like you know, it's like they're not gonna go viral covering it like the Smooth. I don't even know who the original artist is, so like yeah, they bring
Vega.
In their raspy voice and you're like, oh okay, this is jarring. And then some people were like, it's so jarring, I like it. And I should put a trick shot video to the sounds of this.
Here, hold
and,
on. Let's listen to it really quick
okay.
so we have an idea of it. Justin, I'd imagine we're not going to put it in the show, but just for our reference here, I'll play
yeah.
it.
All right.
Ah!
All right. So, okay.
I just don't know if they're serious.
All right, we're back. We just listened to it.
Oh, shit. I am sitting in the morning at the diner on the corner, and it feels it on the halfway.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is Tom Waits and shit coming in?
Yeah.
The original feels like it is, like the artist is disappearing. Like that feels
yeah.
like that's what that song is about. That artist is disappearing from the boredom of like the situation,
mm-hmm.
and that cover is being like, fucking look at me,
yeah,
look at me,
right
now. Feel my emotions.
Watch me take liberties with this melodic. And he feels it only halfway. And before I even argue, he is looking out the window.
Like it sounds like a coffee house open mic prank. Like everyone is just trying to mind their own business. Oh, and the person's like, I'm going to turn this place upside down. And
slowly,
then it's just all of the phlegm from his stomach up to his esophagus.
The reaction of the other patrons in the coffee shop, they're like, oh, okay, I can own a little trumpet. That's okay. And they're like, oh, and then it starts, I am sick in the morning. And they're like, what the fuck? And then you get hit with that. Yeah, I'm like, this coffee shop has gone downhill.
Tom's Diner, what happened to you?
Yeah, it's funny. I was just talking to producer Becca the other day. I was at the fucking liquor store. Do you ever see this shit where people start bumping TikTok tunes out their car like it's fucking, you know, the summer of 02 and Where the Party At with Jagged Edge just came out?
Yeah.
Like, that's the shit I see right now. I was at the liquor store. This woman bought, I'm not joking, like 13 mini shooters of flavored vodka, got in her Honda CRV, rolled the windows down to start playing that one track from TikTok that goes, you want to bamba? That one. She was blasting You Want a Bamba out her fucking car, let that shit cook, and then slow motioned out of the parking lot. Like, we were like, yo, there she goes.
Drink it in. Wow. That's,
You Want to Bamba.
What's something you think is underrated?
I think, okay, customer service, like, is underrated. And this is not just because good customer service, because I think the term now just brings up, like, shitty call centers now. But I do, like, I started a new job, and it's a small company, and I feel like I won't, just to keep my job separate, I won't say what it is, but sometimes I'll get calls from people, and I'm like, even if people are frustrated, I'm just like, oh, maybe because I'm still in that new job honeymoon phase. But I realize, like, when I'm nice, like, sometimes they're just, like, so surprised, like, oh, my God, thank you for helping. And that makes my day better. And I realize that customer service call centers get a lot of angry callers. But I just, like, dread having to call any company. And whenever there's companies that do end up having, like, clients go to Twitter or whatever, then the CEO steps in and they fix it. But I'm like, why don't we just make customer service actually, like, what it used to be, which is people actually caring and people who want to do that job, instead of being like, oh, let me just get a voice on the line who's gonna know nothing. I don't know, maybe I'm alone in this, but it just feels like
let's pay these people like shit so they have to be completely exhausted to earn a living wage because they're working so many hours, and then
pay people for it, and a high value customer service rep who's paid for their time is going to love that and going to be doing a great job fielding calls. But oftentimes I'll be like on hold forever. And then finally they'll talk to their manager, which is like, I always hate making them feel bad. So I'm always like, hey man, just can we skip to the part where
you do that,
but they have to follow their script. And I'm always like, this sucks for you too.
It's just that they've gotten so good with the automated ones, you know, those are so good. I just always feel taken care of by them.
Especially when you say something, you're like, select your option now. You're like, yes. And you hear, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, bro? Just let me fucking complain that there's no internet in my neighborhood right now. I don't need to hear these.
Yeah, yeah.
Robot sounds. But yeah.
It was well during pandemic because some of the call centers, I know people were working from home, and it would just be like, you know, you call a huge company like Spectrum or something, and then you could hear a baby crying and they'd be like, oh, let me see. But then it also humanizes everyone more. So I feel like it's easier to connect as a human. Like, obviously, we all know that these are just jobs, but sometimes when I'm, like, able to get to that, like, oh, hey, like, how's your day? Then they're just, like, more willing to listen, and I'm more willing to just, like, be like, don't worry, I'm not gonna yell at you. But I think some of it's out of fear, because I'm sure they get yelled at all the time, but it's, like, just imagining that they're, like, at home on their cell fielding a call and cooking dinner. I'm like,
oh, it's cool. Thankless.
Like, you got a second? Let me,
That's why, like, to your point, like, I'm just, like, just put me on the phone with the person I can yell at. Because it ain't you. It's not you. I know that. Not you. Because you just answered. They do cannon fodder. You know what I mean? Because they know people like me are trying to get through to have real complaints. And I'm always like, I know this has, I'm like, I know it's not you. Like, I know it's not you. I know this is your job. And I'm like, always like, just please get me to the person who like can make the decision here, or who, when I threaten to cancel my service, will try to do more than be like, we can offer you showtime for 2 days. Mm. I'm like, no, I'm not paying this month. I'm not paying this month. My whole life is on the internet.
Man, I just had a really good customer service experience while canceling our car insurance from one company to go with another company. And the people I talked to cancel it were both very kind and, like, you know, asked what the rate was. We're like, all right, we can't beat that. That's good. Like, and then we're also like, oh, you already started your policy? Well, let's
get your money back.
Yeah, let's get you money back from our company as you were leaving. I was like, okay.
They typically, although, man, I remember last time with a insurance company that shall not be named, when I had overlapping insurance, it took me so long for them to like, they're like, can you get another letter that said when your coverage started? I'm like, no, I sent you three versions.
Right. Like, it has not, the money is not back to me at this point. So I should probably hold my tongue for now. They're going to fight me to the grave.
Yeah.
But all right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk NFTs.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery, but that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? a lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And Donald Trump is back, baby. And our mouths endorsing Dr. Oz. And this is a scandal on the right, man. Breitbart is fired up.
They absolutely hate this. You know, Oz got the coveted MAGA endorsement over the weekend. And this has been a long relationship. You know, I remember in 2016 when Trump was running for president, he went on the Dr. Oz show and they merely gestured at like a pile of papers. And he's like, and these are your medical records, right? Oh, wow. Strong to quite strong, I would say. OK, next point. And, you know, then he was on like the health council for the president and all this other shit. So now he has his MAGA coronation. And like you're saying, despite the concerns over Oz's general viability as a Senate candidate, Trump made a very, very good point to the people of, because it's a Pennsylvania Senate race, North Carolina. But yes, anyway, this is him talking up all the good things that Dr. Oz does.
By the way, I endorsed another person today, Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania. Dr. Oz. Great guy, good man, Harvard educated, tremendous career. And they liked him for a long time. That's like a poll. You know, when you're in television for 18 years, that's like a poll. That means people like you, but he's a great guy. This is the year we're going to take back the House. We're going to take back the Senate, and we're going to take back America. And in 2024, most importantly, we are going to.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Take back the White House. So you heard it there. He's Harvard educated. And like we also see, again, very clearly how Trump's worldview, what it's like, which is, and he was on TV for 18 years. So that's like that's a poll.
That's basically the same thing.
You feel me? You know what I mean? And, you know, I think that whatever, we don't need to speak to the business machinery of show business. But the GOP's reaction to this is a little bit different than that crowd of unenthusiastic or semi-enthusiastic people in the background of that Trump clip.
By the way, just real quick, that sounded small, like compared to a Trump, like that sounded like a normal rally of a politician.
I mean, people have been saying like just visually, they're like the rallies don't look that big these days, or in certain places, they're certainly small. I mean, we were talking about the one in Georgia a few weeks ago where it was like a fraction of what it was like a year before. I mean, a lot of people, you know, I think this all plays into this idea of what's actually happening with Trump's skill of picking candidates, because this pick has really had a lot of people on the like hard MAGA side of things, like really, really upset with this decision. Because they're like, this guy, the guy who's like in like the Hollywood lib who loves Michelle Obama's arms and is pro-choice and doesn't even live in Pennsylvania, that guy. And they've been calling him Romney 2.0. And they all see this as like a recipe for an election day beatdown because he's just not MAGA enough.
He's just picking other famous people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that should be surprising because in Trump's mind, if you went to Harvard and you're famous, what's stopping you from being the fucking king of the world?
Right. Yeah. And he hates anyone who's not famous. Like, let's be honest. Like endorsing a politician who's like not famous, I think disgusts him a little bit. Like you like hear it in the way he talks about them.
Yeah.
Oz, I haven't really been keeping up with Oz's story since he declared. I know like when he declared, he said, you know, we're going to keep the show going. And then it was actually they just like pulled the plug on the show and left every employee who'd been working there for 13 years without a job. But I hadn't seen him food shopping. That's like that's my favorite detail of the Oz campaign. He like went. So he went grocery shopping to make the point that like Joe Biden is making things too expensive, but he just like was so clueless about how food shopping works that it just like made the opposite point.
Rich people have no idea how much things. It's like that thing like how much can milk cost? Like 50 cents.
What could a banana cost? What did she say? $12.
They just have no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he says he goes, he has a little trusty videographer with him. He's in the produce section. He's like, you know, my wife asked me to like come here. Here, I'll just read word for word.
Wait, I have the clip. You want me to play the clip?
Oh, you do? Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. I'll play the clip. Let's do it.
Let's just play the clip.
Thought I'd do some grocery shopping. I'm at Wegner's, and my wife wants some vegetables for crudité, right? So here's a broccoli.
First of all, this motherfucker said for crudité.
For crudité. Like
you're
going to
have,
all right.
You're having your boss over in 1987 for fucking dinner. The fuck are you talking about?
Not a ton of broccoli there.
Here's a broccoli.
Some asparagus. That's $4.
Sorry, just real quick. Carrots. He picked up a single, like,
head of broccoli.
Piece of, yeah. Like the small, I've never bought a tiny little thing of broccoli like that. He's like, that's a ton of broccoli.
That's for the crudité.
Yeah. He says, for that's $2. He does not realize that produce is sold by the pound in this case and is doing the tabulation by, like, he thinks at each unit is the price that it says next to it.
He's like, oh my gosh. Right? Like, okay, so now he's looking at bagged carrots.
That's $4 more. That's $10 of vegetables there. And then
more carrots than anyone has ever needed.
Guacamole. That's $4 more.
Okay, sir, that is not guacamole. That is an abomination. Like, put that shit back.
Oh, man. And
she loves salsa. Yeah, salsa.
Fresh
there.
Salsa.
$6. Must be a shortage $6. Of salsa. Guys, that's $20 for crudité. This doesn't include the tequila. I mean, that's outrageous.
Fuck out of here.
Okay, hold up. He's blaming Joe Biden for grocery stores costing a lot.
Uh-huh. Yes, that was the whole point of that harebrained fucking junket at the shop, was to be like, Byron's really not got any of this shit under control. I can't even have crudité with my salsa. Wife.
There must be a salsa shortage or something. $6.
That guacamole and salsa he pulled off the shelf, that was violence.
Yeah. Yeah.
That salsa, I'd never seen something that was less salsa, and that guacamole, I'd never seen something be less guacamole.
What kind of crudité are we talking about?
The kind where you have a single piece of broccoli, like 15 pounds of carrots, and then salsa. And the fucking grossest, thinnest, like wood pass through a sieve guacamole that you've ever seen.
Wait, hold on. Y'all don't do crudité where you dip your raw asparagus into guacamole?
I just like to dip a big broccoli into like some lukewarm water. That's how crudité works.
One broccoli. So you got this one broccoli. That's $2. No, it's not.
He's making a Seder plate.
He also is the first person to try to go food shopping in the. First of all, you don't just like go to the grocery store for five things, but like he's in the produce section. And he's like filling up his hands. He doesn't know that there's like baskets you can get, presumably. That he has never. He's an alien walking in a world that he does not recognize.
Yeah,
and complaining about the prices.
It's wild because, you know, like that's how you know, again, like the reason these people lose touch with what shit costs is because you get to a point where you have so much money. The cost of shit doesn't matter anymore. Like your income is far exceeds having to consider what the cost of anything is. And you have like assistants and shit that just keep your shit full. So you're like, I mean, I don't know what the fuck anything costs, bro, because I can afford everything.
And they just don't go to the store.
Yeah.
Right.
They haven't been to the store.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you got to go to like, if you want to spot a celebrity like at a store, maybe you could go to the Gelson's on Laurel Canyon and Riverside, potentially. I saw Lori Metcalf there in 2002.
Right. If rich people shop for themselves, they go to Gelson's. It's true.
Exactly.
I saw Danzig once at Gelson's.
You did?
Yeah, it was amazing.
So you could catch Lori Metcalf or Danzig.
Danzig. These are the celebrities.
Yeah. Or Jessica Simpson's ex-assistant that's now married to Donald Faison.
Yeah.
What's
her name? Kaylee?
Casey. Yeah. Casey. Or something, I think.
That's not even counting the tequila, which this man clearly does not drink a lot of tequila. But there's like this profile of Oz that I read. Like the New Yorker did a profile of him, like in the early days of his show's run, and it was kind of approving. It was like he actually is like a good heart surgeon, but it was also like, you know, he's just clearly super hyper focused on like becoming famous. That's like the only thing he cares about. But I remember specifically one of the details was that like he did not eat food. He ate these like green, like solid nuggets of like vegetables and like protein that were like mixed together, and he carried around in a like Ziploc bag just because they were like hyper nutrients that would like get him through his day without like, you know, crashing because he was doing like 5,000 different things. But he has not gone into a grocery store and bought the same shit that he was picking up there in maybe ever.
No. Yeah. And also, based off of that, they should just run ads and be like, yo, this guy can't even fucking party. Like, he has tequila, loose asparagus, broccoli, carrot sticks, shit salsa, and shit guacamole, and it's a party at the Oz house. This is your senator?
That's no. ridiculous, guys. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of business, Disney, their business might be on shaky ground. No, they're not on shaky ground.
Let me
ground.
Tell you like, something, look, man.
Yes.
That shit is why I live around the corner from Disney.
Oh, from the
studios.
Burbank Disney headquarters, yes. Right.
So when I, so like literally, I can look out my window, kind of, you know, peek my head around a couple trees, and I was seeing all these motherfuckers. It was on my front step, basically.
Right. So
also, I'm telling people where I live, and maybe I shouldn't do that, but like, but yeah. It's,
which gate? Which gate? The one off Buena Vista or the other one?
No, we're going to keep that a secret with the Play-Doh. We're going to keep that a secret.
With the Play-Doh. Thank you. Thank you. But right now, right, the conservatives, they got a lot of energy, but nowhere to put it because they all of their outrage circuits, they're trying to fire him on every piston, but they just can't find something to stick. Ever since mask mandates and just general safe practices dealing with the pandemic have dwindled across the country, the right, they've lost a lot of their culture war like steam. And the trucker convoy that we saw on the Beltway, we talked about that. That was a literal piss soaked disaster. So, and like, it couldn't have been a more just like pathetic L to take like in public like that. But that's, they don't respond to public losses like that. No. So all of the GOP's like activist wing, they needed something to scream and lie about. So Walt Disney Company, step right up. Mm-hmm. Because ever since they did the bare minimum and say they are against homophobia, the right has pretty much immediately took the like anti-masker energy that they had and pivoted into Disney is grooming children. They're grooming kids. Grooming them for what? Oh, they're grooming them. They're grooming them. They're grooming. That's what I know. And that's the word I keep seeing in my Facebook posts. And so I will just say that, which I'm sure like, we've seen in like in America in general, buzzwords pop up and nobody knows what the fuck they mean, but they know they're against it.
Yeah.
So we are now, I think we've now we've definitely shifted into the start shit in physical space phase of their latest outrage campaign, which means misspelled signs and LuLaRoe leggings as far as the eye can see. And like what we're talking about is out front at the Disney HQ in Burbank, California, on like at the end of the towards the end of the week, there's a huge crowd out there with a bunch of the alt-right typical people you see. You had Q-brained anti-mandate ladies, you have groypers, you have fucking people from like white supremacists, like fighting gangs and shit. They were all in the together again. But people had signs like Disney, stop mousing around with our kids, boycott Disney and their attack on our kids. It's a satanic agenda. People had like a again, usual, let's go, Brandon, for good measure, and stop the perversion of our children.
It was wild, man. I mean, there was about four or five people with bullhorns or whatever you call it, air horns or whatever, speaking into them. And just the shit they were saying, like, we're on to you, Disney. You will never pull the wool over our eyes again. And blah, 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 blah. You're doing, and I'm just listening to this shit. And I'm just like, this is the same company that, you know, I mean, I grew up in the 90s, man. You know, I'm an 80s baby, 90s kid. So, I grew up with Aladdin wanting a genie to fake a girl to fall in love with him. Or, you know, 14-year-old mermaid wanting to fall in love with a dude which she can't even speak to. Or, like, this is the shit that we grew up with. Like, talk about grooming. Like, we've been I'm not saying that's grooming, but, like, but this is shit y'all was okay with.
Like,
if you really distilled the worst it down. Part.
Have you guys seen that the Tennessee rep who's straight up being accused right now of being a groomer? Have you guys heard about this guy, John?
Is that
John Rose?
The RNC aide?
he's a representative.
Oh, was he? Okay, gotcha. Because there's an ex-RNC aide who's actually, like, about, I mean, so many people are actually about to do, like, stand trial for this shit on the right.
I mean, there's also Matt Gaetz, who is one of their celebrity Congress representatives. So, I mean, it's just the hypocrisy is off the charts, because if you were actually concerned with real grooming, here are actual cases. Here are some names. Here are people who are going to be standing trial, right? Who are in your party. Who are in your party.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, prove it to us. Prove it to us that you are so concerned with grooming by holding the people in your own party accountable. If you could do that.
Right. And they've skipped a very important step in conservative outrage, which is, like, when you're trying to get your movement going, you have to have victims to hang this all on, to be like, look, and this is the person fucked up. If it's socialism, they're like, look at the people of Venezuela. Oh, my God. Do you see what's happening there? Ignore the sanctions that the U.S. has put on there to make it like that. Just look at that, and we call that social. It's so bad. Or the fucking thought-killing cliche that I know you've had to deal with, because I've seen it in your work, of people being like, Sharia law. What about Sharia law? They're like, what do you know about that? Oh, boy. But you need to, and then you can point to people who are like, and these are the victims of this thing. I'm not seeing them parade out a bunch of kids who are like, yo, man, supersize me, or what supersize me? What's that? Dude, I'm so bad with these
Jared
new...
Jared Fogle, maybe.
fucking that the Toy Story or fucking Cars, like, fucked up my whole life and set me down, like, this dark path of, like, victimization. Yeah. They don't have that, so it just really seems like they're having trouble connecting dots. But, again, I think the most powerful thing about it all is all of these, whether it's the transphobia or racism or homophobia or whatever, what have you, it's all rooted in these people need to feel that they have an active role in taking someone's power away. It doesn't matter what it is, or that they are, they're actually right, or they have a reason to. It's just to sort of, like, reignite this feeling that they have, that they aren't losing out on, like, societal progress.
Yeah. You know, something that you said earlier, I thought, plugs right into this, something about how people need something to latch their anxieties onto. Mm-hmm. And so if you're feeling a certain type of way, if you're uncomfortable with your situation for any what reason, you're going to need an outlet. Right. And you know, what's really scary about this is that it has nothing to do with the actual facts. It's like expressing the emotion. Yeah. And if you see people who are expressing the emotion that you crave, that you also want to unleash, It's really addictive to get caught into that cycle and see things in the same way. And the reason why I say it's addictive is because it's really easy to go from one issue to the next. Because if you spend any time on any of these message boards, very rarely are they ever just talking about the one issue. They're going to link critical race theory to what's happening in Florida with the Don't Say Gay bill. They're going to link what's happening with, like, Mickey Mouse, with whatever they're concerned about in Ukraine, even. Mm-hmm. So they're gonna just try and frame everything as this existential battle against the global elite, whatever that means. Please, any of them, just name someone who's in the global elite besides, like, George Soros, who you've been trained to say. But they need to unleash their feelings.
Right.
And it doesn't really matter whether or not it's true. They just are latching onto these people who are presenting themselves as fighting this big fight. They're on this crusade because they're not falling for the tricks.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it just so happens that the GOP is leaning into that, and they're making that I want to call it their death throw, because I don't know how they're going to survive when this next generation of kids grows up. And after seeing Donald Trump, how are they ever going to vote for the people who will say that January 6th was an insurrection, but I'll vote for him again because I like his policy.
Yeah. Right.
It's also just, it tickles me so much how thin-skinned they are, you know, because when the Don't Say Gay bill was, before it passed, and Disney wasn't saying anything, you know, they were like, yeah, you know, they were on, you know, kind of on their side, and then one little opposition. And now it's like, oh, Disney's grooming kids. There's like, you can't take one little opposition.
For them, I think it's further proof that they are more and more outside of the mainstream.
Yeah.
When you have more and more companies come out in opposition, and for something as broad as Disney to do it, that's a gut check for some of these homophobes. Where they're like, am I? Is that fucked up?
True.
And they're like, no, it's because they grooming the kids. And that's what that's that slingshot.
And I get that 100%. Is more for those of us with more than half a brain. We also know a week before that Disney wasn't saying shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's fake. It, you know, it's all. Yeah.
Well, I think that's, there's something to like aim at what you're saying though, right? Is like that they need to express themselves. And it's like that the thing that all of these people have in common is that they have a completely they have no emotional vocabulary. It's completely stunted. And they have no way of expressing emotions except it's like very specific ways that aren't necessarily connected to what they're actually feeling. So it allows for this like very unhealthy way of expressing yourself while not really getting to the part that would give you some relief. So you stay locked in this like pattern. We're able to do that. And I think, I mean, that's just right wing activists or not. I think it's a part of like the human experience that if you're trapped in that, you're only going to, I think, further exacerbate, you know, your lack of comprehension of what's happening around you and be more susceptible to this stuff. So
totally. I mean, some of the rhetoric on Ukraine has been, I think, really key in understanding some of this stuff, because on the one hand, there are people who are pro-Putin because they see Putin as this macho, Trump-esque, like Christian knight who is trying to take on the Western elites, which are like the same enemies of the far right. And so they see Putin as on their same side. But at the same time, there are also people on the far right who see Putin as the enemy because he's hiring Chechens and people from the Middle East to come and fight Ukraine. And so they're blaming Putin for making Ukraine into a quote unquote white graveyard. So it almost doesn't need to make sense. Or they don't even necessarily need to align themselves with the same trail of logic. They're just going to express themselves in the same way. They're just looking to latch on to any of these world events and wrap it into their big conspiracy.
Right. Exhausting trying to cover your sad trails. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back and we'll talk about some, I guess, pathetic stuff.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but
same old us.
Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed, and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season. And guess what? So are we. Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And it is that time again that I didn't know was an annual time of year, but apparently it is. Gerber has announced their annual contest to find the next Gerber baby, which I don't know.
It
seems a little lazy, right?
Well, I just, like you were pointing out earlier, the way they even are out here trying to court new potential Gerber baby contestants, candidates. Look quick. They're looking for candidates that have a, quote, playful smile that can light up a room, as well as, quote, an irresistible giggle, an undeniably lovable personality. And also, they're looking for a spokes baby that is an infant or a baby 4 years old or younger.
Yo, so let me just read directly. Does your baby have the best smile or an adorable giggle? If so, they may qualify to be the next Gerber baby. Qualify is such a weird word there. It's like you might qualify for like tax relief, or you might qualify for...
Right, for this class action lawsuit.
This, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Just keep it real nice and clean and yeah. You may qualify to give us your baby.
Yes. So
for $25,000.
Please give us your baby to make new IP for a company. This baby is actually your baby's face is now our intellectual property. Fuck out of here, sucker.
So, I mean, the original Gerber baby, this goes back to that original Gerber baby from 1928 that, like, I think if I wasn't looking at a picture of the baby's face, I could still, like, close my eyes and, like, kind of picture it. That's iconic, right? The Gerber baby?
Yeah.
It's like a charcoal sketch, but...
Right.
So... It started with a contest in 1928, and it was for artist drawings because nobody had a fucking camera, and a charcoal sketch ended up winning, and they didn't reveal the identity of the baby or, I guess, the artist until 1928, so 50 years later. But there were apparently, like, before we were alive, the things that they had conspiracy theories about were things like, I heard the Gerber baby was Humphrey Bogart. Or I heard the Gerber baby was Bob Dole.
Yeah, what the fuck
how
is that?
How fucking bored do you have to be for that to even, like, if you told me that and it was true, it would immediately fall out of my brain. Like, the second you told me that.
Yeah, you look at that and you're like, that's Bob Dole. If I've ever seen it.
Also, this baby looks like borderline like anime. Like, the eyes are so big. It's one of the most beautiful babies you've ever seen. Bob Dole, I don't know. Bob Dole was not hit me with those peepers. Yeah. The whole conversation reminds me of like the sketches in I Think You Should Leave, with you know, Sam Richardson and like those the baby little bodybuilders and the
right. Look at them; they're goosed, man. These kids are goosed. Got goose suits on.
Got goose suits. But anyways, it turned out that that baby was not Humphrey Bogart or Bob Dole, but some random woman whose family lived next to the artist when she was a baby. Now, if it had turned out to be Humphrey Bogart or Bob Dole,
okay,
that would have suggested a level of Illuminati control to the point that they have plucked this 5-month-old baby from obscurity and been like, we already know that this baby is going to be powerful. You might as well put this baby on your baby food thing. Like, it's such a wild conspiracy, dude.
Right. Humphrey Bogart. I mean, look, that's the beauty of having rumors in 1978. There's no internet.
Yeah.
And you can just get shit going. Like, you can just be a drunk guy and be like, you want to know that? Shut the fuck up. You want to know who the fucking Humphrey baby is? Come here, man. It's fucking Humphrey Bogart, man. Just don't sell anybody. Like, okay.
The model never got a penny until.
What?
Until it was revealed that she never got a penny. And then they helped her buy a house.
Begrudgingly.
Yeah.
Or I guess it was. The baby was paid in 1950. When she was trying to buy a house with her husband, who just got back from World War II, should be noted, was no longer a baby at that point.
Yeah.
Due to the passage. I'm trying to start
a life with my husband. And then the even more fucked up part was they only did it because someone else was trying to claim that it was them that was the Gerber baby. Like some other fucking fraudster was like, hey, run me my Gerber money. I'm the Gerber baby. And they're like, man, this. All right, I guess now we're going to have to admit to this other woman she's the Gerber baby because she's actually asking for less than this person.
It's like a fucked up paternity suit.
Right.
Who's judging? That's what I want to know. Like, who's judging? Who's on the board?
Yeah, pre-DNA. Like, who is just, like, holding up the picture, being like, nah, that ain't you.
Or no, you mean but also who's on the today, board, who selects?
Oh, look, who selects the babies today?
NBC, hit me up. This could be a thing, all right? This is your next... Like,
this is a good question. In
you have
meeting,
to get Danny because any other... Me. If it's just a group of, like, unnamed people, I am picturing the creepiest motherfuckers in the world.
The weirdest people.
Like, they're dance like, moms or, like, toddlers in tiaras. Like on steroids, being like, or that like, baby sucks.
The creepy old man neighbor from Family Guy. Like
it's me. It's Kelly Clarkson. It's Alicia Keys.
Yes. Okay.
Wait, didn't Kelly Clarkson change her name?
Did she?
I think so.
No.
Sorry to be like so pop culture. Wait.
It's me. Who else is in there? Jamil. Also Terry. I don't know. Every single person that's on those. All of the America's Got Talent, American Idol, Masked Singer.
Howard Stern for some reason pops in every once in a while.
She's now Kelly Brianne. That's right. Thank you, Becca.
Is she?
Yeah. She just goes by Kelly Brianne.
Did she change the name of her show?
I don't know.
Because
not sure.
When?
Anyways, it's me. It's Nick Lachey.
Yeah. I like this.
Thank you.
But here's the thing, right? If you actually took this seriously, because I think you take it seriously and you'd want it to be like, well, how do we equitably discern which of these fantastic contestants has these seem like such intangible qualities, like an irresistibly adorable laugh and lovable personality.
It's weird. There is no version of this unless you are doing it on TV in front of people and the people are like talented and funny and not chosen for their like keen eye for baby cuteness or whatever the fuck like qualifies you to be on the board to judge this. It's going to
just be roast them.
Yeah, just be
like, you know, just fucking make a comedy show out of it and being like, yo, we about to flame the fuck out of these Gerber babies.
I want the grow. I would pick like the grow. I love those babies that look like they've been here for 50 years.
Yeah.
Or the ones.
Yard stare.
Yeah.
Yes. I also am like a big past life, like reincarnation. So like the babies that come out and they're like, are you fucking kidding me? Right. I said not to come. I said I did not want to come back here.
Yeah.
And you could just see it in their face. That should be the Gerber baby.
You know that little kid?
Oh, yeah, Linda, look video? It.
Linda,
look, look
Linda.
It, look it, Linda.
Look,
Linda,
look honey. It, Linda, honey,
yeah.
Baby.
No, I don't want pet pals for not listening.
You're not listening.
I mean, he was like, damn, I'm on my fifth fucking tour, bro.
I know. Like, for real.
Linda, I'm not going to lie, man. I don't know if you know this shit. Before this, I was a municipal bus driver that died in a fucked up accident, okay? And I was like, that was my fourth one. And before that, I've been crushed building the Hoover Dam.
Yo, that baby represents America. I want the grumpy baby on all of the food.
Yeah.
Everyone would be like, yes.
Yeah, you want a baby that's like, Linda fuck baby the millionaires.
In the footnotes, you can look for the Linda baby. We'll make it the first footnote because that's the only one anyone's going to actually be looking for.
Exactly.
But, and before you throw your baby onto the pile of babies that Gerber is considering, just last year, it should be noted, a congressional report revealed that there was lax testing of baby food, and brands like Gerber had dangerous levels of lead, cadmium, mercury, and inorganic arsenic.
Oh, what does that mean? Somebody dropped their arsenic bottle in the fucking mixer or some shit?
Yeah. No, I mean, I have kids. We've always insisted upon local organic arsenic in baby food. That's just a policy. We don't budge. But I don't know. Apparently, the contamination of heavy metals in food, this is making me just happy to live in America. The contamination of heavy metals in food is relatively common. Larger problem in the food supply. It's just especially problematic with baby food because turns out they're a little smaller. Their brains are like doing, 20 times the work that our brains are doing on any given day because they're building themselves. But yeah, it's another example. I mean, it kind of goes back to what we've been talking about this whole episode. Like, that it takes a fucking train to get the fucking FDA to, to take on a company like Gerber.
Right.
But because of this report, Gerber is one of the companies being sued over this, and there's a chance that they might like have to pay out lawsuit, and so might just be a weird time to be slapping your baby's face on the Gerber bottle. But $25,000 is $25,000.
They're like, hey man, enter your child to be the next Gerber fall guy. I mean, the next Gerber baby. They're gonna be like, Your Honor, that child. I mean, that's the face of the company. I think we need to be asking this child what the fuck went down with these lax testing, regimens. That's just me. Okay. Like,
I am 50-50 on whether at the outset of the judging process, if the judging is being done behind closed doors, at the outset of the judging process, somebody within the Gerber Corporation is like, guys, we need to find the cutest fucking baby because we are in trouble.
We're fucked.
We need a baby that is going to deflect the heavy metals and inorganic arsenic scandal that we're staring down the barrel of.
Where are we going to find that? I don't know. Put out feelers to everyone. Everyone? Everyone! And you're like, oh shit. Game Gary Oldman and shit.
I feel like it would be the opposite. It would be like the ugliest baby. They're like, we need sympathy. We need pity. We need like, if they start to go after us, we're like, why? Is it because our baby isn't cute enough? Is it because our baby is ugly?
Oh, because his baby has one of those helmets on with an eye patch. They're just trying to correct their eyesight. And maybe if they messed up on those documents, signing off on those more lax testing protocols, we would have caught this. But instead, y'all are coming after a child with diminished eyesight. And that is just terrible, terrible, My Honor.
Most of my friends don't have babies, but the ones that do are luckily cute because I'm not a good liar.
I'm terrible at it. I'm terrible at it.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. He looks like they're from Earth.
My one friend has like a child that like Her Majesty and I, when we see their daughter, we're like, how is this child so damn fucking photogenic? Like whenever they post like a picture of shit, we're like, what the fuck? Is this some filtered shit?
And then when you see them in person, you say that extra because you're like, they're not even that cute. They're just photogenic, right?
Right. And I tell that to the parent. I'm like, yo, that's wild because I was just telling her on the phone, child looks, is like an angel from heaven. But up close, this motherfucker pretty busted up. But that's cool, man, how y'all really manage the image. Shout outs to you.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.